Good morning once again, and you might realize my voice might be a bit different because I got a souvenir from Israel, and that's my dry cough. So it's been with me for the past, so every time I cough, I'm just reminded of my trip. And so the last day when I was leaving, I got the dry cough. So I just thank God for the cough. So at least I'm having a free trip to Israel. Yeah. Let's spend some time in prayer, and then we will look at God's Word. Father, we thank you once again for giving us the opportunity, O God, to reflect on your Word. We thank you, Lord, your Word is alive even today. We pray, God, that you will fill us with your Word, because it gives life to us. And give us a spirit of obedience, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We realize, just to give you an overhead and an overview, for the past few months, I think we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, because when a person is living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When we love God, and when we give ourselves to God, when we surrender our life fully to God, when we are living a life of obedience, what happens? We actually allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives. And so when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, I think we begin to show love, right? There is joy in our life, there is peace, and there is patience. And today we will look at the word called kindness. So I told you, I think when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it is supernatural. It is something that you and I, at least, will be difficult for us to achieve without the grace or even the power of God. Because when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you begin to see the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It reveals about who Christ is. Because when you look at the Word of God very carefully, you know, Jesus was always found to having love for us, right? There's always joy in Him when He was ministering. There was always peace. There was patience, kindness, right? Generosity, and the list goes on. And so God wants us, Christ wants us to be living a life like Him. And so today we will be looking at the word kindness. I know kindness, I believe, even in our lives too, there were moments in our life that someone showed some kind of kindness to us. Probably at home, right? Someone at home reached out to us and said, okay, I want to show my kindness to you. I want you to have this. Probably at school or in our workplace, you know, maybe our friend came and said, you know, this is what I want to do. And so we have received kindness in a different form altogether, right? We have different. And so when you look at the word kindness, I think what's happening, if you look at two words in the Greek word, you know, it refers to the kindness and the goodness of God. You know, very interesting, whenever you look at the word kindness in the Greek text, right, it doesn't speak about human beings. It speaks about the kindness and the goodness of God, because it's only God who can be kind to us. It is only God who can be very loving to us, right? And God is always, right, wanting to reach us to us. So the acts of kindness is always, the Greek word always speaks about Christ and about His work for us. The Hebrew word is hesed, right? It means, it characterizes God's relationship with us. It talks about kind, loyalty, mercy, kindness, faithfulness. And so when you look at the word, you will see that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the Lord was there. He was making garments for them. Can you imagine? The creator of this world came and made garments for them. And so you see the word hesed there, the kindness of God that is shown. And also when you look at the Old Testament, you know, when you look at a bird's eye view, you see that God is delivering the people, the Hebrew people or the Jews, from slavery to the promised land, to the land of freedom. And that's the kindness of God, right? They were grumbling. They were always complaining. They were always found questioning God. They said, we want to go back to Egypt because that's a better place for us. We better die there than to go and to experience, you know, the land that is prepared for us. But God was still kind. He was always there for them. And so I think when the Spirit of God is in me, Right? When I'm living a life of obedience and I'm just listening to the voice of God, what's happening? You know, the character of Christ begins to show in me, right? I begin to show kindness because it is not possible in my own effort, but it's only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I thought today we will just look at the passage. I think all of us, you know, are very familiar. Even our kids who are in the breakfast program would know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Do you know the good story of the Good Samaritan? Hello? Yes? If you don't know, come and see me after the church service. I think all of us know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The Good Samaritan. I think what is happening, you know, the priest comes by, the Levite comes by, and finally, you know, the Samaritan comes by. He comes and helps, you know, the wounded man, I think we know the story pretty well. When you look at the passage very carefully, you know, Jesus is teaching them through this particular parable about kindness. He's not only talking about the Good Samaritan, he's also talking about God's kindness upon us. And that's why the title I've taken today is Love in Action. Real kindness is is love in action. When you reveal love, and that love is shown through action. Let's turn to the passage that was just read to us today, Luke chapter 10, and we will begin to see from verses 25 onwards. So this man, or the expert of the law, comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you imagine? It's a million-dollar question. I think it's important for us to ask this question. What should I be found doing? Because I've done so many things, but I realize I think I'm not there kind of a thing. And so he's asking Jesus, what should I be doing to inherit the eternal life? And so Jesus is talking to him about the Samaritan story. What's happening? So he's saying, who's my neighbor? He's asking Christ, because he wanted to test Christ or even tempt him by saying, who is my neighbor? You know, sometimes you might wonder, what is a very silly question he's asking? Like, what is a silly question? Because according to the Jew, a fellow Jew is a neighbor and no one else. According to the Jew, a fellow Jew is a neighbor. They will never see another person as a neighbor. A Gentile can never be a neighbor at all. They are not in my neighbor's list. To me, a Jew is a neighbor. And that's why Jesus is bringing the story of the Samaritan. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They never liked to cross the land of Samaria because of some historical reasons, right? And so Jesus is bringing the story of the Samaritan by saying, it is not a Jew. Who's your neighbor? A person who's in need. A person who needs your kindness. A person who needs your help. The person might not look like you. Might not even speak like you. A person who's in need. And that's what Jesus is trying to say from this particular passage. Because it's always, you know, it's easier for us to be or to help someone who looks like us or even speaks like us, right? So Jesus, I was always wondering, why is Christ bringing a Samaritan? He could have easily brought a commoner, a common man, by saying a man came and this man helped. I think the Lord wants us to see a neighbor is not just helping someone blindly. A neighbor is someone who's in need. He might be different, right, language or race-wise, but someone who's in need, and the Lord shows me, and I want to reach out to that person. And so, kindness is shown here. In verse 31, what is happening? If you read verse 31, it says, as a man was walking, let me read by verse 30, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of the clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same route. Very interesting, you know, what was happening. A priest was just going down the same way. He was just passing by. By chance, he was just coming by. Probably he did not expect someone to be in need. He did not expect to see this wounded man. He was just passing by, right? And so even though he saw the need, he saw the wounded man who was just half dead, is almost going to die. Probably he'll be dead very soon. He saw, but he was not there to help him, right? Maybe he thought it's a threat, right? It's an ambush. Or maybe this is not my problem. I have something better to do, right? This is not me. I don't think I want to help because I think he is in that condition. You know, probably that is his karma, right? He has to go through all this. I got no time because I got so many other things to be involved in. I'm rushing to my church or to my synagogue. And I think that was the attitude. He was just passing by. He was not prepared to help, right? And then we look at the Levite. He also sees this man. He sees the man. And for a moment I was asking myself, Levite was an assistant priest, right? So maybe if he's an assistant priest, probably he was saying, if my boss is not doing it, I'm not going to do it, right? If my boss feels that is not important, so this is least important to me. So what's happening? The priest is also just going by saying, you know, why should I do it? If I do it, then I might not be getting promotion in my duties, right? My chief, my big boss is going in front of me, will demote me, so I better not do it. And so what happens? And this man passes by too. Thirdly, I think we realize the Samaritan comes by. As I told you, they were hated by the Jews, but this man comes. You know, when the more I see the Samaritan, I see Christ. The more I see about him, I see that Jesus, you know, sees us. He wants to meet our need. Four things that I just want to share with you. The first thing, if you realize, you know, what's happening, you know, this priest comes by, the Levite, the Samaritan. He came to where the need was. The priest saw the need. He crossed. Similarly, the Levite also saw, and he was also, you know, not bothered to help. Whereas the Samaritan, he came to where the need was, right? He saw the need, and he could have said, what's happening? But he went, right? He went because he felt there is an opportunity for me to minister. Maybe this is what God is wanting me to do, right? He saw, and he could have just ignored, but he went. I think kindness is love in action. It is not just feeling pity. Now, many times we feel pity for people. But here, what is happening? He goes to that man. He finds an opportunity to serve because I want to serve. I want to help. I want to be there. I want to be just reaching out to this man. And so he goes to this man, right? And let me tell you, when he goes to this man, I believe he knew very well, right? It could be a trick. It's a risky affair, right? It's something, it's risky, you know. He might be a guy just waiting to beat me up, or probably his friends are just around the corner, right? Just ambushing themselves just to bring me down altogether. Let me tell you, when you see a need, when you want to go to that particular need, it is a risky affair. To share Christ, it's a risky affair. Maybe, you know, when you want to give a tract to someone, you know, you might be thinking, maybe the guy might not want that gift, right? He might say something bad about me. It's a risky thing. He saw, but he still went because he saw the need. He saw this man was half dead. He needed help. This was an opportunity for me to serve. I think that's what this man did. So kindness is not just seeing. It's not just feeling pity. But kindness is taking the steps of going to meet the need of the person, going to where the need was, my friend, finding opportunity. Yes, I know it's risky. Today we live in a world, right? We talk everything under the sun except religion, right? Religion has become a very private affair. We don't talk about religion. We talk about anything under the sun, right? Let me tell you, when you see someone in need, that's an opportunity. When you see someone is going through some rough time in their life, that's an opportunity. Not only to just see and feel pity, but to reach out to that person. He went. He wanted to be get involved. Getting into his territory is dangerous, but he still wanted to help. And that's the love of Christ too. Secondly, when you look at that particular passage, what is, you know, what he saw the need, right? He came to where the need was. He saw the need. Two words which I would like to see. We look at it very carefully. This man was a wounded man, right? If you look at the passage, it says he was attacked by robbers. He was stripped. He was beaten. So in other words, he was a wounded man. When you look at the Greek word very carefully, very interesting word, right? It does not only speak about the physical pain this man was going through. It means, if you look at the Greek word, you know, it means it's to the likeness of the pains of life. He's not just physically wounded, he's having pains of life, my friend. There are certain pains in life that we have. He's just going through struggles, right, of the soul, afflictions due to sins or wrong activities, right? He's just going, he's not just physically hurt, but he's emotionally down. He's torn apart. Probably he's going through difficult times in his life. Probably he's wanting to just give up his life and commit suicide altogether, right? And says, I don't want to live in this kind of a world. That's the word, way the word is placed there in the Greek text. He's not just physically wounded. He's physically and spiritually tormented also, my friend. He saw the need. He came to the need was not only that, he understood what was happening. Do you realize, you know, when your friend are going through difficulties, sometimes it's easy to advise them. Do you really understand the need? The struggles they are going through, the things that actually, you know, just tearing them apart because of sin, because of wrongful doing. And this man was able to discern. I think that is very important. When we have the Spirit of God in us, as I told you, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. We begin to discern. We begin to see what sin has brought into this man's life. Because of wrong decisions, sin has taken over. And he is struggling. His soul is affected. He begins to see. And not only that, very interesting word, right? He's half dead, right? He's half dead. I was looking at the Greek text, and it's a very interesting word here. You know, it can also refer to he's dead physically, right? He will face the second death very easily. In other words, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. He's dead in this world. He's living, but is gone. He has one more chance, right, before he escapes eternal condemnation. If you realize that, I know sometimes when you look at our friends, you know, yes, they have life, but maybe they are half dead. They're living in sin. They're dead in sin, but there is still life. There's an opportunity, right? Because the second half dead could also mean he can be permanently taken away from the kingdom of heaven. And so he saw the need. And so when you look at your friends, how do you see them? Do you just see their need? Or do you realize, you know, if this friend of mine continues in this kind of a life, not only he is dead now, but he will be dead forever. He'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the word of God says. And that will be the worst thing. and I and you accountable. If any soul is not brought to Christ, I believe that, you know, God will ask the question, were you a neighbor to that particular man, to that particular friend of yours? And so he saw the need. And thirdly, if you look at the passage very carefully, he met the need, right? He met the need. He had oil and wine. And so I was just wondering, you know, can you imagine this man? He had oil and wine. You know, in other words, it was telling me that he was prepared. He was prepared to meet the need of the person. He could have said, you know, okay, wait, you know, let me go and find out what to do with you. No, because he was always ever ready. He was prepared to meet. It might be today or tomorrow, the next month. I am always ready to prepare to meet the need of this particular person. And so he was prepared. He met the need. And secondly, when you look at oil, you know, many times when you look at passages in the scriptures, the oil is always referred to the Holy Spirit, right? And so when I was trying to look at this particular message, I was trying to see, you know, yes, he's able to meet the need of the person with the help of the Holy Spirit, not with his own strength. It's only the Spirit of God can help. But if you make the first step, my friend, let me tell you, the Lord will take care of the rest. It's whether we want to make the first step, whether we want to go where the need is, right? Whether we want to be sensitive to what's happening, what sin has brought to the lives of our friends. And when we want to reach out to the person, you know, the Spirit of God is there to help us. He met the need. Let me tell you, even today, with God's help, we can meet a lot of need with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? By doing kind deeds. Even you might not be helping a person financially, even your encouraging words become a something soothing in your life, right? It can be a helping hand, even a listening ear. You know, sometimes people just want you to listen. And listening is difficult, right? It takes a lot of patience. But when you listen carefully, that itself, what happens? I think, you know, you are there, right? Even sharing a meal with a person is going through rough times, it helps. Because when you have a meal and you ask the Spirit of God to help you in that fellowship, let me tell you, the Lord speaks. I also sit quietly present in a hospital room because I do chaplaincy back in Singapore, and also sometimes I do help in Scarborough hospitals and all that. There are moments I don't even speak, my wife and I, when we go there. Sometimes the moment is you just touch the person's hand and you just be present, that's all. The Spirit of God works through touch or even through your presence. Many times we think, you know, I have to say something. No, no, no. There are moments you need not. Your presence itself reveals God's love. So he was able to meet the need of this particular person. He was prepared, right? Because I believe, you know, he was prepared because he was having a relationship with God every day. He was loving God. He was just worshiping God. And so he was prepared to meet anyone, anytime, anywhere, when there is a need. Lastly, let me finish with this. It says, he did not leave him where he was. Right? Sometimes we say, okay, I've helped you. Now, it's your turn. Right? You need to just move on in life. But when I look at this particular passage, I realize he did not just leave him where he was, but he brought him to the inn. Right? He brought him to the inn, and he was willing to spend some money for this particular man and said, I'll come back. Right? I'll come back and visit and pay whatever that's due. So the more I look at it, you know, I begin to see the church here. Right? He does not leave him there. He did not say, you know, yes, you have accepted Christ. Praise God. my brother, now it's your time to walk. Right? Many times that's how we respond to someone who have actually accepted Jesus Christ. We say, praise God, now continue to walk the way. No, no, no. That's not the way. That's just the beginning, my friend. Right? He brought him to the inn. In other words, you know, sometimes, or many a times, I think that's, we should invite them into our fellowship, into our friendship, into our circle, right? Into our groups. Because he could have said, you know, I've helped you. Now just pray that you will get the strength and move on. But he brought him to the inn, to a safer place, a place that he can be cared for or looked after. And so, you know, God wants us to bring people, right, into the inn, into our circle, right, into a place where they can experience God. And the more I think about this, the more I see church. Why do we have church? Why should we have church? Why did Jesus tell Peter, on this rock I will build my church? Because a church, when you look at it, it's not only the body of Christ, it's a place where we begin to experience God's love. We care for one another, right? We pray for one another. We reach out to one another. We are there for one another. We rejoice with them. We are in tears when they are weeping. We love them. We embrace them. And so the more I see the word in, the more I see the church. I think it's, yes, my friend, we bring people into a salvation experience, but let's bring them into the fold, into a life that they can experience love, care, and experience the love of God. I believe, you know, this week, you know, God wants to use us to show kindness, because we live in a very needy world. It's a needy world, a world that is broken by sin. Many are dead, right? But they are half dead. In other words, they are dead in this world. They can be dead forever. But God wants to actually use us today. Let me share with you a story. And the more I see this particular passage, and God wants to wants us to show his love to people around us. Right? I was reading in this article about a great painting by this man called, a great artist by the name of Holman Hunt. Now, Holman Hunt was a great religious painter. And so he painted this great picture, Jesus at the door, right? I think Revelation, you read, Jesus is actually knocking at the door. And so he painted a great masterpiece. And so one day, I think what was happening, he, after doing this great masterpiece, he invited friends and even critics to come and to look at the picture and to give their thoughts. People looked at the thoughts and looked at the picture, and they said, they marveled. They said, you know, it really depicts as if Christ is just standing at the door and knocking at the door. There were good words, but there was one guy, who was one observer, I would say. He said, Holman, you know, it's a great work. It's a masterpiece. But I wonder, there's something missing in this picture. I don't see Jesus is knocking at the door. He says, I don't see a handle, right? A door always have a handle, but there is no handle in this door where Jesus, probably it might be an oversight, he told the man. The artist said, no, it's not an oversight, right? It was very intentional. Because when Jesus knocks at the door, he wants you to open. He doesn't want to open and come. He wants you to open. The knot is on your side. And he wants you to open. He doesn't want to open and come. And so, when I was reading this, the story of this great painting, it reminded me, God wants to use you and me, my friend, provided we open the door and say, Lord, you be in charge. Use me this week. Help me to show that kindness. Provided we open the doorknob and say, Lord, come in. Use me this week. Let's pray. Dear friends, I believe this week you're going to see people, or maybe your friends who are close to you, who's going through some kind of need. How have you been responding to that particular need? Do you realize that many of their problems, it's because of sin? Because of wrong decisions in their life? Because they have not known God? They have not sought God's counsel? Many times we see the problem on the surface level, but there is much more deeper. The Samaritan was ready. He knew the problem. He knew this man was wounded, not physically, but emotionally, or even spiritually. He knew that this man is dead, but he will be forever dead in the eternal fire. He knew he can help through the power of the Spirit. Are you prepared this week if you see a need? Do you have the oil in you? Do you have the Spirit of God in you? The Spirit of God is always available. Dear friends, God wants to use us this week. Find an opportunity. Tell God to show an opportunity for you, even within your friends, to reach out. To show kindness, because we received that kindness from Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who loves us so much. We thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness that was shown at the cross of Calvary. We were wounded one, and we were half dead, O God, and we were about to go into the eternal fire, but because of your love, we are here today just worshiping you and acknowledging you as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We thank you, Lord. We want to be like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be like you this week. In Jesus' name we pray.